Happy Easter, and welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, March 31st. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, and happy Easter, everyone. It's been a great day, and we've had some very exciting things happen over the weekend in sports, especially in March Madness. What a bracket. I mean, my bracket is gone now. I have zero Final Four teams for the first time ever, but I was so close to having three of them in this weekend coming into it. So we had to have a show tonight. We're not going to have too long of a show, but we will be talking a lot about, you know, mostly about the basketball tournament. And Weigh In Sports will be going to the Final Four next Saturday and the national championship game on Monday. So I'm really looking forward to that. How's it going, Trey?
Oh, man, going well, man, going well.
I'm ready to go to the Final Four, man. I don't have a dog in the fight, but I'm ready.
Well, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good Final Four. You know, again, the Big East and the Big Ten are weighing in on, you know, the strength of each conference. I mean, two Big East teams, the two teams that were vying for the Big East championship or, you know, could be playing for the national championship. And then, you know, the Big Ten, Michigan, you know, right in there, Tarvin, and then, you know, obviously, Wichita State, you know, the crazy 9 seed that upset Ohio State to get in there.
Yeah, but I have to give a shout out to my wife, Trey. You know, a couple years ago when Auburn made the national championship, she surprised me with a ticket to the game, and last night she surprised me with tickets to the Final Four. So I have the best wife ever, man. I have to admit, she really supports my sports addiction. And then she loves me for it. So we're going to be at the Final Four this weekend, and I just want to thank her for giving us a chance. We have a busy week, Trey. We'll be in Atlanta watching the Braves game Wednesday night, and Sunday we'll be doing the Cubs-Braves game and the Final Four Saturday and the National Championship Monday. I've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, a lot of sports to cover, man, a lot of sports to cover.
Yep, and good thing is Uncle Sam gives us a good 100% tax write-off on that for the radio show. We might even do a live show there. I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to be fun. So, Trey, going into the weekend, man, I had three of my Final Four left, and it just started crumbling, all falling apart when Ohio State lost to Wichita State. And, you know, after watching Wichita State play, Trey, it wasn't an upset last night. These guys are legitimately a very good basketball team.
Well, it's interesting. These guys, you know, if you think about Wichita State, this is a team that really did. I mean, you got to think, they haven't, I mean, this is not a team that was ranked a lot this year. This is not a team that really has been on the radar. I mean, they're certainly playing very good basketball now, Tarvin, but, I mean, this team not ranked for a lot of the year, but very, very, very sort of peaking at the right time.
I mean, these guys had, a 20-plus point lead in the second half, and Ohio State cut it to three. That scared me a little bit because as the game was going on, I was pulling for Wichita State. Even though my bracket had Ohio State, it's just something about it. It's hard to pull against an underdog. And I don't remember the last time a 9 seed made it, but it's been since the 70s, I believe, or maybe 60s since Wichita State's made a Final Four. So I'm sure those fans are excited, the team's excited, and they're going to pack out the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, I mean, Wichita State, you know, this is, you know, you never know. I mean, Butler made it a couple years in a row. So these underdogs, I mean, it's been a long time since an underdog actually won it all. But, you know, these guys, it's not as if recently these guys who've made it to the Final Four haven't actually made it to the championship. We haven't seen an underdog win at all, you know, probably since, you know, I would say Jim Valvano in 83 and, you know, they upset Houston. It's been a while since we've seen a big upset in the national championship game. But, you know, Tarvin, you really can't put it past, especially now as in college basketball, we've seen more and more upsets in the tournament, more and more of these teams sort of, you know, get into it. I mean, we, you know, I said sort of as we went into the tournament, I told you I thought somebody crazy was going to come out of the West. I was completely wrong in who that was, but I was not surprised when it came down, you know, Wichita State came out of it, just because, you know, this was the bracket. This was where a lot of these higher seeds were so talented, and, you know, I'm not going to say I was smart and thought Wichita State was this good, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me these days that you see, Mountain, you know, West Conference or the Missouri Valley Conference, you know, playing so well in the tournament. Just, I mean, we see a lot of these teams actually competing very well on this stage.
Well, the thing that amazes me about a team like this is the athleticism they have, but the coaching. I mean, the coaching is top-notch for Wichita State. I mean, this defense of Wichita State held Ohio State to 31% from the field. I mean, you can't win with 31%. Wichita State only shot 37%, so that's not, you know, great or anything. But to hold Ohio State to 31% and 5-for-25 from the three-point line, that's just an amazing job they did on defense to win that game. They almost blew it, but at the end of the day, they punched their ticket to Atlanta, and they're the Cinderella now.
Well, they got very conservative towards the end. And, you know, I saw an interview, and they talked about how, I think they may have learned a lesson there, because they got, part of the problem was they were playing not to lose towards the end. And anytime you see a team start playing, and like they're scared to lose the game. And I think Wichita State got that way towards the end. They got very fortunate, I felt, and they actually held on. But let's be honest, Ohio State had been sort of the luckiest team in the tournament to that point. So the fact that Ohio State finally bowed out of the tournament, to me, was a little bit of justice, because they had been very, very fortunate, winning on last-second shots twice. That kind of luck, you know, sometimes it can be destiny, but sometimes can be, you know, the exact opposite. And I felt like Ohio State this year was going to be the exact opposite. I felt their luck had to run out this year. Of course, Wichita State came out in that game and just dominated right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Wichita State has what it takes to actually beat a Louisville team. Watching Louisville today, Trey, I mean, they did show why they're the clear-cut number one, the favorite to win this whole tournament. But I think if anybody can upset these guys, it's a team like Wichita State that maybe Louisville hasn't seen before, and Pitino, you know, they have a week to prepare, and that's the bad thing for Wichita State. But I think Wichita State, they're a physical team, and they can get hot, and I don't think they'll come in with any pressure on them. So I think it's a perfect matchup for Wichita State getting to play Louisville, because if they can knock Louisville out, I can really see them winning this championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, unfortunately, I don't give much chance for Wichita State winning this game. I think, you know, Louisville is going to come out. They're going to put pressure on Wichita State like they haven't seen before. I mean, the thing about Ohio State is they don't play the kind of defense. They're not as fast as Louisville is. And I just think that Louisville is the type of team, even without, you know, their second best ball handler aware. I know we'll talk about that. But they're going to be different than Wichita State has seen in the tournament. I mean, Pittsburgh was a very similar team than Ohio State. So, you know, Wichita State has not seen a team like this so far.
Hey, Trey, can you check your connection? You're breaking up a lot. I'm just having trouble hearing you. Can you just check that real quick?
Yeah, I will.
And looking at Louisville, Trey, that injury today, we'll go ahead and talk about where. Man, I've never seen an injury like that to where, I mean, I saw Prothro for Alabama, I saw Lattimore, but there's just something about this injury with a bone sticking out 6 inches, Trey. I mean, do you think this guy will ever play again?
Hey, Tarvin.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better. Do you think Ware will ever play again?
I think he will. I mean, it reminded me, to be honest, of Michael Bush's injury. The running back out of Louisville who plays for the Oakland Raiders. You know, it's going to be, you know, 15 to 18 month recovery. I was watching the game when it happened, and I got to tell you,
I think we just lost Trey. Trey will be calling back in just a second. He must have had that bad connection. But I looked at it, and I'm praying for this kid. And it just broke my heart to see the kid get hurt the way he did. But also it touched me to see the way his team responded to that, the way they acted when they saw him go down, how devastated they were, because that shows how close this Louisville team is. And then you check over and you look at Rick Pitino, tears gushing down his face. And Duke showed a lot of class when this injury happened, the Duke fans, the Duke players. I mean, it's just sad to see. It's a brotherhood in college basketball, just like football or baseball or whatever sport we're talking about. But you look at this, the way they responded. They came out after that happened, and they were trying a little too hard. But once halftime came and they got a chance to sit down just a second, it was just amazing to see how they played. They looked like a team on a mission. So usually, you know, when that injury happened, I knew it was going to affect them one of two ways. I mean, Louisville couldn't respond, and it was too much, or they were going to blow Duke out. And that's what happened. Those guys are just too athletic for Duke. I was pulling for Duke in this game. I had Duke to win the championship, actually, but they're just no match for Louisville. I mean, just looking down low, I mean, you look at Duke, they're soft down low, and I just don't understand why a Duke team, they can recruit anybody they want, would actually not recruit someone big and tough down low. Trey, that's one of Duke's downfalls going in, is their toughness down low. That's what killed them this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Sorry for having problems with Blog Talk tonight. But, yeah, I mean, it did. And Louisville was able to go down low. And really, you know, it's kind of the problem that I thought they were going to have is, you know, I told you, before the game, I thought that Kelly was part of the problem here. You know, when people have gone down low, he's gotten in foul trouble. He got a couple of fouls early. And honestly, you know, Plumlee wasn't – I thought he might be early in the game the answer because he wasn't in foul trouble. But he just – he's not as physical as I would like him to be. And, you know, you saw this game. They were able to push those guys around.
Yeah, Plumlee is soft. I mean, when I think of the word soft, I think of Plumlee. I mean, the guy has no power down low. I mean, he tries to post people up. And then the thing is that frustrates me, Trey, is when he puts the ball on the floor when he's out at the free throw line and he gets it ripped every time. I mean, that's a problem to me. And if I'm Duke and I'm Krzyzewski, there's no way I let this guy touch the ball up top and let him dribble. I mean, that's just a turnover waiting to happen against a Louisville team that's just like sharks in the water. They're waiting on blood to hit the water. Once they get in there, they're going to attack. So Plumlee has zero chance. When you have these kind of athletes for Louisville, what was he thinking, Trey, of trying to take the ball and dribble?
Well, I mean, Plumlee's not good off the dribble. I mean, these guys are way too fast for him to do that too. I mean, the part of what I thought Plumlee was trying to do down low was he was trying to take the ball off the dribble. He was trying to make a move, but to be honest, every time he did that, Tarvin, he was just too easy to predict. He would turn the ball over. I think he had four straight turnovers at one point. So he was just – tonight wasn't his night, Tarvin.
Yeah, and they, you know, they couldn't get open shots. Duke was struggling. I mean, that's how you know, Duke's a great team when they have open looks and they can shoot the three and then they can feed it down low. But tonight they couldn't get anything free. I mean, they hit their free throws in the first half and they got to the line, but as the game went on, Louisville just sucked it. I mean, they just sucked the life right out of Duke. And I don't know about you, but Curry, you know, he had to be frustrated, Trey. He didn't score, I don't believe, in the first half. And he really struggled to get the ball in the second.
Yeah, I mean, they really frustrated Curry. He was really pressing. And that was what surprised me, quite honestly, the most about Louisville's game was I didn't see Curry having that much problem, Sarvin. I mean, I thought Curry would find his game. But, I mean, they really kept Curry way off balance until the second half.
And the thing that hurt Curry was the domination, really, by down low Louisville. I mean, Louisville dominated down low in that game. And when Duke couldn't score down low, I mean, they got predictable. They tried to score from the outside. And you're just not going to beat Louisville like that when you're not scoring inside. You're not going to beat anybody like that. So Duke will learn from this. You know, they'll learn from these mistakes that they made. They'll recruit better. But Louisville, man, just hats off to Pitino and that team. I mean, they played with a purpose this tournament. I mean, they only trailed just for a few minutes in this whole tournament so far. But I really do see them getting past Wichita State. I think Wichita State's a good basketball team, but they're just not there yet. I mean, I think those guys will be happy to be there. And looking at the other side of the bracket, Trey, we had Michigan, you know, beat Kansas. Kansas was up big in that game, Trey, and just choked. I mean, that's the biggest choke job I see in this tournament. So if you're self, I mean, what are you doing? If you're Kansas, I mean, are you holding self accountable for that loss?
Nella is unquestionably the biggest choke. I think one of the biggest I've seen in a tournament from especially a better seed part of it. I mean, Kansas went down the stretch of that game playing, again, much like a team who is sort of like a higher seed who is playing a high, you know, sort of a one seed, like a 12 who was beating a one and didn't know what they were supposed to do. And so Bill Self, to me, was coaching like a coach who didn't know how to coach with a lead, who didn't know how to protect his lead, run his offense, to coach against an offense that was clearly trying to run a fast break offense, trying to score quickly, trying to hit threes. I was just perplexed that the way he was running his offense, the way he was matching up his defense. And so I think he has to be accountable for this. I mean, obviously, there were some knucklehead plays on Kansas's part, but Tarvin, I mean, I don't know if you were as frustrated with the coaching as I was in that game.
Yeah.
Going down the stretch, I was just knocking my head against the TV going, what are you doing? Why? come on now.
Well, Trey, you get Patino, Krzyzewski, Donovan, you give them 20-point leads almost late in the game, 15-point leads. It's over. You know, these guys know how to close it out. But, again, you said it earlier in the show, these teams are like Wichita State. They were afraid to lose. I mean, they kept looking at that clock and seeing 7 minutes and saying, okay, we're up 15. Okay, there's 5 minutes. Well, we're only up by nine. And then it just keeps going and going. Bill Self should be fired for that, honestly. Just terrible in Michigan, man. I mean, you're going to let this guy sit out there and hit threes. Granted, he was hitting them from the timeline past the NBA range, Trey. But, I mean, Self has to make adjustments. You're the number one seed in a tournament in your region, and you let a Michigan team like that just come from behind. That's just so disappointing. And that's the story of Self's career, Trey, as a coach. That's what I look at him as a choker, and I always have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I talk it down to coaching. I really do. I think Bill Self choked in this tournament. I think Kansas had this game out of it. And the thing is, Tarvin, we talked about it before. I thought they made brilliant second-half coaching moves against North Carolina. I actually liked the second-half coaching moves they made against in halftime against Michigan. They went up big. I really liked what he did, and I just could not understand why he was so perplexed when he was going down to the stretch. They had a big lead, and he couldn't figure out what to do with Michigan when they were clearly had the same, they're going to throw up long threes, and then, and he didn't know how to run an offense back. And honestly, Kansas was their half court set and offense was terrible in the second half of that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's just very disappointing. I had Kansas winning that game, and matching Florida up with Kansas. But today, as we saw, the team is hot. They only had a day off. Michigan took that momentum trade from that come-from-behind victory over Kansas and just put it on Florida. Nothing could go right for Florida. Everything went right for Michigan. But you have to credit Michigan with that trade. They came out to put a dagger in Florida, and they did. Great job by Beilein, the coach for Michigan, having his team prepared for Billy Donovan. Michigan deserved it today, Trey. They really just killed Florida.
Well, I mean, this is what I thought would happen. I mean, this is Florida's first single seed opponent she faced in the tournament. And look what happened. I mean, Florida has been a team who has not won again, who has basically beaten no one on the road worthy all year long. They finally faced somebody in the tournament who is pretty good. So what happened? They lost by 20, Carbon. I mean, so Florida had a great run. Luckily, they had easy opponents up until this point. They got lucky. And the fact that all the good teams really sucked it up ahead of them. So a great job by Billy Donovan again, making him Elite Eight. You know, they beat the low-level seeds ahead of them. But, you know, this was going to happen once they faced a really good team.
Yeah, you were right about that. I mean, they played some terrible competition, really. I mean, what was their best seed, a 12 seed or a 13 seed that they played in the tournament at this point? But here's the problem with Florida. Their offense, I mean, they don't have that go-to scorer, someone like Michigan that can just spread it out and shoot threes. And they rely on their defense to put pressure on you for you to create turnovers, and they feed off that. It's just Florida's just a team that can't come from behind when they're down that much. But they tried to get into that lead. They had it down to 11 points, I think, at one time, you know, with the ball ready to make it 9 points with about 17 minutes left in the second half. But Michigan, they got a two, and then they stole the inbound pass, a lazy pass from Florida, and took it for a four-point play, really, after that. And after that, Florida, they just took the fight out of Florida. So Michigan is a team, Trey, that I gave no credit to, really. I like watching them play. I did not think they would make it this far, and I don't know many people that did. But can they beat Syracuse? We see Syracuse. We talked about that, Trey, when the tournament was announced, and Syracuse is a very dangerous team. You know, they can get going. They can play defense. So can Michigan beat Syracuse, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's possible. I mean, Syracuse is one of those teams that really feasts off turnovers and defense. And if that doesn't work out and they get in foul trouble, then you're going to really see a difference in Michigan. I mean, Michigan can really do great things. Now, I do think Syracuse is going to be very, very good in shutting down Michigan. I really do. But, I mean, I think Syracuse wins the game, Tarvin. But, I mean, Michigan, by no measure, is out of this game, and they're playing at a very high level. I mean, they're sort of 6 and 7 men are actually playing at a very high level themselves. So, you know, you got to give Michigan a lot of credit. They're actually coaching very well, making good adjustments themselves. I kind of like the rotations they're going with, and they don't like some of their, you know, they're not scoring very well. They've changed their rotation up, and they'll go big, small, like they're big and small variety. So, you know, Michigan's going to give, I think Syracuse a good game. I just like Syracuse's length. I mean, their pressure is just great. So I think Syracuse is going to probably give them fifth. I think that if anybody can shut down who should be the sort of player of the year, Trey Burke, I think it's going to be Syracuse.
See, I'm going to pick Michigan in this game, Trey, and I think they're just the hotter team right now. Syracuse has been there, done that before, I know, but I think Michigan's going to come into this game just a tad more hungrier than Syracuse, because you look at the way they can beat you. Michigan can beat you down low now. They can beat you from the perimeter. They have ball handlers. I mean, they can break the pressure with their guards. I just look for Michigan to rally in Atlanta. I'm excited to see them play in person, to see those three-pointers. I mean, they were 10 for 19 today from downtown. I mean, that's pretty good. Florida, 2 for 10. Just looking at Michigan, Trey, they're playing better than anyone in the tournament right now, in my opinion, besides Louisville, of course. So I'm looking for Michigan to pull an upset. But it could be interesting if we have a Big East championship. The Big East is no longer after this year, Trey. Would it be sweet to see Louisville Syracuse one more time?
It would. I think they're the two best teams in the country. I mean, they were up there most of the year anyway in the top five. So it would be a fitting sort of a last game for us to go out on. But, you know, I mean, heck, Tarvin, I mean, Michigan would be a great game as well. But I see that this is going down as a Syracuse-Louisville finale. Which was a great game, you know, and the last team that really pushed Louisville was Syracuse. So we'll have to see if it happens again, Tarvin. I mean, with wear out, you know, that's the one team that really, really actually would push Louisville's depth at ball handler would be Syracuse, because, you know, that wear being out now, Syracuse actually, that's a weakness there for Louisville. So Syracuse, I think if that happens, Tarvin, you may see Syracuse win it all.
Yeah, but the problem is like, okay, it's easier to predict these games when you have a week off. You give these teams time to rest and prepare. You have to look at coaches here. So who are you going to favor in this coaching battle, Beilein or Boeheim?
Oh, Boeheim for sure.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's weird. Beheim is that name that everybody knows, but Beeline, he knows how to get his troops ready to play, and he could be that coach that's flying under the radar in this. It's going to be a very interesting Final Four. I was hoping to see Duke and Florida in there, honestly, just because I was going. But it's going to be very interesting to see how Michigan attacks that zone. If they can hit their outside shots, I think we're going to have a game on our hands here. But Michigan-Wichita State wouldn't be a bad championship, would it?
I think it would be less attractive.
But Wichita State, though, man, they won the NIT last year. They have a little momentum. Just looking at it, to make the Final Four, do you agree with these coaches being hot commodities? Like Wichita State's coach, would you go out and offer him a job if you're a big-time program?
Well, you know, I want to sidebar just for a second, Tarvin. Speaking of offering jobs, I know Offer just got offered or just took the job at UCLA from New Mexico. I don't know what your position is, Tarvin, but, you know, New Mexico just lost to 14 seed Harvard. This guy has a losing record in the tournament. And you know, New Mexico has been a team who's gotten pretty good seeds in the tournament. And now UCLA, I think he's going to turn their program around. I just think it's a bad hire for UCLA. So I'm going to come out and say that I'm not a big fan of this guy. So moving on, I think a guy like, you know, programs like Wichita State, much better coaches coming out of there, I think, than offered at New Mexico. So I think in the Missouri Valley, I think you do have better coaches there because when these guys make runs, Tarvin, I think they're coaching much better because they have to work so much harder with less talent.
Yeah. I'm commenting on Justin Hawk in the chat room. He's talking about the tickets for the game being expensive online, and he's thinking about scalping one for $100. I think it's going to be hard. Closer to game time we get, the higher the tickets. My tickets have over doubled in value right now since I bought them. But it's going to be hard to get a ticket in Atlanta downtown. But for $100, you might get one for one game for $300, but that would be probably up in the nosebleed. But I'll be hoping to see you there, Justin. Hopefully you can get a ticket so you can watch your Wolverines play. And then we'll take a caller real quick. I think we have Jonathan on the line. What's up, Jonathan?
You know, I'm going to comment on Alford going to UCLA real quick. My problem with Alford taking the job at UCLA was he accepted a 10-year extension from New Mexico the day before they lost to Harvard. I mean, obviously the guy has no loyalty. He agrees to a 10-year contract and then bolts. And Trey's right. What has New Mexico done? Honestly, what have they done with him as their coach? Is he really worth the contract? But to talk about Michigan and Syracuse for a second, I remember watching Providence and Syracuse in the Big East tournament, and I remember watching Providence swing the ball around Syracuse's zone for 20 seconds straight, getting an open three and taking it. Between Hardaway, Burke, and Robinson, Michigan can do that all day. And that's where Michigan lives, is the three-point line. I think to say that, Michigan has the offense to get this done, and I believe they will. It's a pretty easy bet that unless Syracuse makes sure they guard the three-point line, they're going to get torched.
And I want to give the call-in number real quick, 646-716-5564. I want to say hi to Jimmy Abrams, Justin Hawk in the chat room, Jonathan Miklos, and Trey's in there. Thanks for joining us. Just want to make a note, last Wednesday night show, we had over 20,000 listeners, guys. So it didn't look good in the chat room Wednesday, but, well, we had a flood of people listening to the show. We want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully they didn't go to their bookie and bet on my picks, guys, or else they probably won't listen to the show anymore.
Oh, brother, you tell me, man.
It's hard to pick these games, guys. Once you get to this time of year, Wichita State last night, I had a gut feeling at game time that they were going to be very tough, and they were. just very happy to see that. So Trey's picking Louisville and Syracuse in the championship game. Jonathan, who do you have?
Well, it's hard for me to pick against Louisville after what they did to Duke. And knowing that Louisville is going up against Wichita State. Wichita State's got a good coach. Let's not get that twisted. He's obviously a good coach. You know, they've been in this tournament multiple times under him. I got to go Louisville, Michigan.
Louisville, Michigan, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan's going to just, they're going to attack from the three-point line. And, you know, when your strength is you know, the three and you're going up against two,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're smiling. I mean, it's just gold for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Louisville, Syracuse. I mean, just looking at it, as I saw Syracuse, the way they're playing too, I just think, like Trey said, that zone's going to be too much. They're playing their best ball of the season right now. And you do have to give the nod to Jim Boeheim for his experience and being in these situations. So Louisville, Syracuse, I think will be a lot better draw for, you know, TV. That's what college basketball wants right now. They want more money. So Louisville, Syracuse will be a huge draw, guys.
You can't tell me Wichita State being in the final wouldn't be a huge TV draw. Cinderella with a chance to win it all? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of fans that might not. I would like to see it, honestly, but I can't speak. Trey, what do you think about the country in general? Would they want to see Wichita State in the championship? I would. I would like to see it. Did we lose Trey?
Apparently we did.
Sorry, Tarvin, I'm muted myself. Sorry, Tarvin, I think, honestly, I think people would wait until the second half to see if it's a game. You know, I think people would be scared. It's like the Butler game. I think people were scared it was going to be a blowout. You know, people want to see the little guy win, but you don't want to see him lose. You know, you don't want to see a blowout. So I think that, you know, in those games, the ratings are kind of hard to predict. But, you know, I think that overall, going into the game, you know, I think it's hard to say that, you know, Wichita State would be a good game. But, I mean, if they get to the game, anything's possible.
Well, Trey, you're cutting out pretty bad, so I'm going to mute you just for a second. I'm getting some background. But, you know, I'm pulling for Wichita State and Michigan. That's who I'm pulling for to make that championship game. And of course, Wichita State win it all, Jonathan. I mean, I'm an underdog. I love seeing these guys play. I'll be watching no matter who's playing. So Jonathan, hopefully you can get your ticket and come down here and join me.
You're funny.
What? They're not expensive.
Brother, I don't have money to sell out for Final Four if Florida State's not there.
Well, Trey will pay for it. Don't worry about it.
If you give me Trey's credit card, that ain't the only thing you're paying for.
No, they're going up. My tickets have doubled since I bought them, so I'm tempted to kind of wait and maybe sell them, maybe go to the championship game and sell the semifinals or something. I just always wanted to go to a Final Four, and so it's in Atlanta, so I'm close, so it'll be easier for me to go. But we're going to talk more about basketball. We'll probably have a show Thursday or Friday. We're not going to have one Wednesday. So we'll talk about the Final Four more in detail. But today, I want to first start off, Mal Moore, Alabama's AD, passed away a couple of days ago. Jonathan, I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I did.
Very sad.
It's a shame. It's a shame to the University of Alabama and all of the college football world. He was a great athletic director. He stood for what was right in college sports. As many times they were put on, I mean, they were put on probation, but it was not his fault. He was a great person. And, you know, Alabama and the rest of college sports could really still use him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great man. I mean, he was a part of, I think, 10 or 11 something national championships. He played for
11.
Bear. He coached with Bear. He's AD. So he is Alabama. As long as I've been alive, he's been a part of Alabama. So he'll be missed. I mean, he's a rival, but he did a great job. He hired Nick Saban, for God's sake. I mean, how could he not be a great AD? So if you can talk Nick Saban into leaving the Dolphins to come to Alabama, you're better than a used car salesman. So he'll be missed. I mean, I want to send my condolences out to the Alabama nation. I know a lot of them are very upset. So let's see if Trey's back with us. Trey, can you hear now?
Yeah, I am, Tarvin.
Okay, good. Well, today is Major League Baseball's opening day, opening night. And you know something funny, guys? I didn't even know Houston was in the American League.
Way to keep up with baseball, buddy.
No, I mean, I keep up with baseball, but I just didn't even pay attention to that. I never thought of that because when I saw Houston versus Texas, I'm like, what are they doing, starting off an interleague series? but they are doing that this year. Yeah, they're terrible. Houston's going to be, I mean, Carlos Pena, like I read, is the best player on their team. You know you're in trouble when you got a guy that strikes out 8,000 times a year as your star player. So.
Well, Houston's winning 2-0.
It's game one, though. We got another 166 left.
I know, but it says something for Houston that, you know, they're winning 2-0 against Texas, you know. I mean, that's something that you just can't ignore. But we are actually starting with our, you know, first time ever that we're starting with an interleague game series, and that's the Angels at Cincinnati.
That's pretty cool. I'll be there Wednesday night to watch the Braves play the Phillies to see if Doc Holliday can get his mojo back working. Hopefully he won't get it going Wednesday night while I'm there. But we will be covering baseball. We're going to do a baseball preview. You know, it's still a few games into the season. I'm getting some bad background, Trey. We're going to have to recheck your phone again just to make sure. But looking at it, Jonathan, we're going to talk about some baseball. We're going to go into that deeper. But let's first talk about Tony Romo tonight. I mean, this guy gets some big contract. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is getting his big one. But how does Tony Romo get that kind of money when all he is a choke artist?
Well, he gets that kind of money because Jerry Jones is always going to be joined at the hip with Romo. He stuck by him. He sold him to all of us, even though we all knew. We all knew Romo wasn't worth the money. Jerry Jones, you know, he sold himself on Romo. And let's face it, Romo is a, you know, he's a good regular season quarterback until about week 15. And that's when he falls apart. And that playoff game against Seattle will chase him for forever. And, I mean, let's face it, Martin Gramatica should have made a block, but, you know, should have thrown his body in front of Babineau, but he didn't. I mean, we are talking about the franchise for Dallas at this point, Romo is. And a little stat that not many people are going to know. Tony Romo, when he throws for 370 yards or more, the Cowboys are 0-9.
I mean, this is ridiculous, guys. I don't know if $100 million doesn't mean anything anymore to anybody. I mean, just $100 million is nothing. I mean, Tony Romo. I mean, I know Trey likes Romo a little better than I do, so I want to hear from Trey on Tony Romo, what he thinks about this $100 million. Trey, is he for real? Does he really deserve this kind of money?
Well, I mean, if Joe Flacco is worth it, Tarvin, Romo has got to be worth something.
Yeah, but Flacco has 2 Super Bowl rings at least.
One.
Well,
or one,
yeah.
Super Bowl ring. I'm sorry.
I mean,
he has won a playoff game, you know, besides one that Romo. I think Romo's won one, correct, or zero. Which one is?
Romo has a playoff. But I mean, here's the deal. I mean, Romo has not a very good playoff quarterback. I mean, where Flacco has been a very good playoff quarterback. So, I mean, you can look at the numbers and say that Romo is not justified in getting a big contract. In that regard, I mean, his winning percentage in December and January is abysmal. That's another reason not to justify a big contract for Tony Romo. However, you know, if you look at his numbers previous to that, and if you look at, you know, the quarterbacks who are out there for other folks and look at the teams who are dying for quarterbacks, I mean, you know, Romo is a serviceable quarterback, and he is pretty good. I mean, part of the Cowboys' problems are far deeper than quarterback play. I mean, you can't attribute all of the Cowboys' problems to Tony Romo. I mean, they've had pretty bad offensive lines for a lot of those years. So,
true.
You know, I mean, is Romo worth it, Tarvin? I don't know. I'd probably say probably not as much as he's being paid. Is he worth something? I'd say he's above average quarterback, Tyron. But he's definitely not worth what they're paying him.
But who are you going to get for $100 million? Like right now, who could you get to replace Romo? There's really not anybody out there you could get. So I think he was in the right place at the right time. I mean, what are the Cowboys going to do? Tell him to hit the road? And who are they going to start? I think that's
right.
The problem.
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, are you going to start all over? Are you going to try to trade Romo, release him, and try to draft? I mean, Matt Barkley, I think Matt Barkley is going to be terrible. Or get like a Kolb or trade for Matt Flynn or, let Carson Palmer get released. The quarterback market is actually very thin when you really think about it. So that's the reason why when we talk about, these quarterbacks being paid this, really, there's a 50% and greater. I mean, there's teams who are really dying for quarterbacks. And if you have a quarterback who's serviceable, who can possibly get you to the playoffs, teams are going to overpay that guy. And that's the situation with Tony Romo. The Cowboys are going to overpay him because he is a decent quarterback. He can be good. He can be great at times. But he tends to be very awful when it comes down to December playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas could get me for $1 million. I would come for $1 million and take them right to the playoffs. You know, that's a $99 million savings, Jonathan, they could get just by getting me.
Well, I mean, if they wanted an actual quarterback, they'd sign me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think Trey's son could do a better job handing the ball off.
I know. I mean, Romo, didn't he – remember that extra point, or was it a field goal? I can't remember. He dropped the cost of the playoff. Yeah, the field goal. I mean, come on. You're worth $100 million. You can catch a snap from a center and hold it on the ground. I mean, this guy, to me, he just has choke written all over him. And Trey's right, though. He's not to blame for everything, but I don't see any leadership from him on that field. A quarterback that you pay $100 million to – has the team's attention, really. I don't think Romo has the respect of those people on the field, in my opinion. So is he worth $100 million? No. I mean, I could understand him choking a little bit if he was a man that had control of that huddle and control of the field. But, Jonathan, I just don't think he does.
Well, the problem with Dallas is that they really need help on the offensive line. And they keep spending their money on guys like Tony Romo and Miles Austin to the point where they can't go get offensive line help, and make this offense better. You know, because Dallas has proven, Romo's proven time and time again, he can take a receiver like Laurent Robinson or Kevin Oglesby and make him a stud, you know? So I think Dallas needs to do what the Yankees are doing and curtail their spending a little bit.
Well, did you hear about Michael Crabtree for the Niners is claiming now he can't see? His sight's wiped out ever since that hit in the Super Bowl?
No, Michael Crabtree says he lost sight for a play after that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
he couldn't see on third down. Well, I mean, Terry Williams jacked him up, you know?
But how did he come back and play?
That's a
great
question.
He did come back into the game. So if I'm a doctor and you came over to me and said, hey, I lost my vision after that play, I'm not putting you back on the field. I mean, there could be something else going on. And I wanted Trey's opinion on this. Trey, I mean, honestly, did the team doctor know about this, you think, during the game, that he couldn't see?
No, I don't. I don't think there's any way the team doctor knew at all, Tarvin. I think that if it did happen, Tarvin, there's a 100% chance, or 100% chance that he never told a soul.
Yeah, hey Doc, I can't see anymore. Well, get the hell out there and play. Suck it up, buddy. We got a Super Bowl to win.
Yeah.
But,
Crabtree claims the injury happened on that last four, four downs of the game. So I don't think he even had time to go tell a doctor he couldn't see.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Crabtree's also the same guy that said he's the future in the NFL, so...
It
reminds me of that movie Friday when he came up and stood over him and told him, what happened to him. You got knocked out. You remember that scene in the movie Friday?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. But looking at it, the Bills agreed to get Kevin Cole. I mean, seriously, Buffalo, I mean, do you ever want to win and make it to the playoffs to go out and get Kevin Cole? Jonathan, what's your thoughts of Kevin Cole going to Buffalo?
Buffalo hasn't figured out that you can take the worst quarterback and the second worst quarterback and make them an average quarterback. Somebody needs to tell them that you can't combine two human beings together. Now, I think what Buffalo's doing is they're praying that the Kevin Cobb of Philadelphia shows up. You know, they're buying backups because we all know they're going to draft Ryan the Sib, the quarterback from Syracuse, in the second round. It's going to happen. He wants to go there. They want him. They're going to draft him in the first or second round. So Buffalo's just looking for backups that they can be somewhat confident. That's it. Is Buffalo ever going to win? No. And you know why? Because their fans still wear Zubas. All right. Get rid of the zebra pants and Buffalo will win.
Well, Trey, we're about, you know, less than a month away from the NFL draft, which we'll be covering in heavy depth, actually. But is there anything in the draft you're looking at right now? Are you, which team is going to make that huge mistake early?
Well, yeah, I'm still considering that term. I haven't picked out which team I think is going to make the huge mistake. It's generally the Browns, though. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, even though, I'll be honest, I mean, last year I said the Browns had a good draft. I said last year they did okay. We'll see if they make a mistake this year. But, you know, Tarvin, it could be the Bills this year.
Well, the thing that concerns me, and I'm with Jonathan on a lineman he was talking about. I've been reading up on him more, watching some film. Chance Warmack, Jonathan. I think he could be the steal of that top 10.
Well, everybody has Chance Warmack going into the top 10, and if I was Kansas City, I wouldn't even bother trading Brandon Albert like they want to do. I'd go and I'd draft Warmack 1 overall. Everybody keeps saying, well, how can you say Warmack will be drafted top 10 with DeCastro, who was the best guard in last year's draft, drafted number 24? Guards are always underrated. The fact, live with it, people. Okay, when you have one as good as Warmack, he's going to go that high. And, you know, Kansas City's smart, they'll take him instead of Jockel. You know, Philadelphia's smart, they'll take him. Or Oakland, I mean, he's easily a top five pick. The player that I want to watch and see, two players I want to watch and see who they're drafted are Marcus Lattimore and Barrett Jones. Because both those guys are injured, but we both know both of those guys are amazing players. Neither one of them might play this year, but they're both great players.
Yeah, I think Lattimore is going to bounce back, and I want Trey's opinion on that. Trey, Lattimore received ovations at his pro day, his workout. How did he come back so fast? I mean, this kid's just amazing.
Well, I mean, we've seen this sort of fast comeback more and more. RG3 on pace to come back for opening day for the Redskins. We saw it with Adrian Peterson. Lattimore is sort of on pace to play for the NFL this year and actually do pretty well. I think Lattimore actually does make an impact this year. I think a team takes him relatively high, Tarvin.
Yeah, but there's one player, guys, that we know Teo, he keeps dropping and dropping. I'm still thinking he's not going to make it in the first round. I don't think he actually gets drafted there. I'm going to go ahead and say it. But Sam Montgomery is projected 30th for LSU, the defensive end. I think he's very undervalued at 30th, guys. Sam Montgomery is a beast. I think as the draft gets closer, his stock will climb. I think somebody's going to take a gamble on him. Jonathan, do you know anything much about Sam Montgomery and his draft stock right now?
Well, Sam Montgomery was originally a top 15 player in Mel Kiper's big board. The reason why Sam Montgomery has taken such a huge tumble was LSU's strength and conditioning coach put out a list of players who are lazy and skip workouts. Guess who was number one on that list? Sam Montgomery. Teams are looking at that and they're questioning him. Does he have the work ethic? Does he have the desire? Does he really want to better himself, or is he here just for the paycheck? And in all honesty, I question that too.
That's a very good point. I did see that list, but, I mean, this guy could have a sour grapes about something. So I would ask around more than the strength coach. But speaking of strength coaches, I mean, I looked at Auburn, Trey, and, you know, their new coaching staff came on. And I read the other day the kicker was interviewed, the place kicker, said he can't even walk anymore. That's how hard they're working out. And to find out last year's workouts for Auburn were all voluntary, really. That explains a lot to me of what was going on with that team. But if your strength conditioning coach says you're lazy and you don't have a good work ethic, I mean, that has to raise red flags. But I would do a little deeper research into that to see if it was true. I would go talk to Les Miles. I'd go talk to some others just to see if what his practice habits are. He could be lazy in practice as well, which is a very bad thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm excited about the draft. I'd just like to see these the teams that trade up just to screw up and just kill their whole draft. There will be that team that gives the moon for some player that we all scratch our heads. But last year I laughed at Tannehill, guys. Jonathan, I didn't like Tannehill, but you know, he came out big this year. Do you think he'll repeat that second year?
Well, but Tannehill, right now the thought was, holy crap, Tannehill just was amazing his freshman, you know, his rookie year. Well, people need to remember that he had Mike Sherman as the offensive coordinator. When you have that kind of transition where your college head coach becomes your offensive coordinator in the pros, you're going to have a great, you know, your learning curve's going to be a little easier than Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin. Now, the problem with Tannehill is people are saying Sherman's holding him back now. And without Reggie Bush, he doesn't have that running threat that opened up lanes. Now, having Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline for him are huge, because instead of teams doubling Hartline, they're going to want to double Wallace. And that's just great for Tannehill. I expect him to have an average, about the same as he had this year, just a little more touchdown. I expect him to go deep a little farther, but yeah, he's still playing for Miami, and I think that says it all.
Well, we're going to switch over gears real quick before we go. We just have about 8 minutes left around that time. And Trey, the Miami Heat, you know, the streak ended at the hands of the Bulls. So give me your thoughts on that. I mean, were you sad to see LeBron lose?
I don't know that I was sad. I mean, you know, and the streak has to end at some point. I was surprised the Bulls were able to do it shorthanded. I think it might be good for the Heat for the championship overall. I mean, now we're seeing, like tonight we saw both LeBron and Wade sit with basically small nagging injuries. So what we're going to see is them start to sit more down the stretch, a la what the Spurs have done in the past to keep them healthy for the postseason. Where with the streak, there really was a pressure to keep them playing the whole time to keep the streak alive. And there was a lot of fourth quarter games where, you know, LeBron and Wade were playing quite a lot. So now there isn't that pressure, so they can take more time off. So for the Heat, I think if you're a Heat fan, I think this is better for their championship, I think their championship run.
Yeah. I don't see anybody touching the Heat in a 7-game series. Nobody in the East can beat them, and honestly, nobody in the West is going to. So this is going to be a very boring playoff, in my opinion. Jonathan, are you looking forward to the NBA playoffs?
Well, of course, you know, the Western Conference a little more wide open, so I'm looking for the NBA playoffs. I think what we saw from Chicago was extremely impressive. In that victory, considering that Noah didn't play, Deng had a great game, and nobody gives Nate Robinson the credit he is for being a sixth man. My biggest gripe with Miami is that they keep crying about these foul calls. And if you're LeBron James, you just need to shut up and play, because I don't think he understands. When you're 6'8", 260, and you're on a 4'4", 40, when you come barreling at somebody, they might reach the arm out, but you're moving so fast it feels like a punch. All right, suck it up and keep on going. I mean, gosh.
You're that big, too. You're going to get contact. You're huge. You're, what are these, Trey, 260 pounds coming down the lane? I mean, people are going to foul him more, and the refs aren't going to call as much when you're that size. He just needs to suck it up, like Jonathan says, and just shut up. Do you think he's whining too much, Trey?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the star players talk a lot about wanting calls or wanting to have special treatment. I like any star player to not talk about getting, you know, calls. So I like it when a star player doesn't talk. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I don't want him to talk as much as he does. But that goes for any player. I mean, that goes for Kobe. That goes for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it's just getting a little too much for that. The divas out there. LeBron James is an amazing, amazing player. So just shut up and play, and you'll be fine. But LeBron James is earning my respect more and more with what he's doing on the court. I mean, this is his team. I'm not a big LeBron fan, honestly, but when it's all said and done, guys, he's going to be one of the top five of all time. Am I crazy for saying that?
No, absolutely not.
What about you, Jonathan?
You know, I have a hard time disagreeing with that statement. I think for anybody to say that he's not going to be one of the best to ever play the game is a fool. We've gone from the Magic, and you know, there's a transition. There's always a next superstar. You know, you have Michael and you have Kobe and now LeBron. I mean, you know, who's next? Who's after LeBron? And that's what I can't wait to see, is because you have a bunch of good players in the NBA, but who's that next one? Who's that one that's going to push himself into the top five? And LeBron has all the talent in the world. If he just shuts his yap, goes out and plays, wins the championships, he can easily go down as top two of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can surpass Kobe. You know, and I don't know if he'll ever surpass Michael, because Michael changed the game. And you got to realize, and I know you guys were alive for this. I wasn't. I've watched rebroadcasts of the games. Michael would get punched in the face and there'd be no call. Okay, Detroit was called the Bad Boys for a reason. They physically beat you. You know, LeBron doesn't face that. You know, do I think LeBron could survive back in the Michael Jordan days? No. Do I think he has transcended his game and into the top of his game as the top of the league right now? Of course. To say Kobe's better than LeBron right now is ridiculous.
Yeah, right now he's not. I mean, Kobe's older. He's got a lot of miles on there. LeBron's just his size makes him almost unstoppable. I mean, he can do everything Kobe can do and do it better in a way. So, and I don't know if I'm wrong by saying that. That's just my opinion. Right now he can pass better. He can play defense better. He can score better. I mean, he might not be better outside, but his three-point game is really improved, in my opinion. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more debates about this. My dream matchup would be the Heat versus the Lakers this year in the championship. If that could ever happen, it probably won't. But I would love to see that. But Trey and Jonathan, I was just going to let y'all know before we go that we're going to have a show. I'm going to try to do one Thursday night for a short show, Thursday, Friday, maybe even Saturday. Sometime we can do maybe an hour show to go over this Final Four breakdown. Wednesday I'm going to be at the Braves game. I have family coming in, so I won't be able to do a show. But you two can do a show if you'd like to Wednesday night. Feel free. But I want to thank y'all for coming on the show and doing a great job as always. I want to thank Mr. Abrams in the chat room for listening to us, and Roger stopped by, and Justin Hawk as well. So listen to the archive. We had a few new followers this week. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to having you on. Call in the show anytime. We'd love to hear from you. You can get us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Way in Sports. So there's just so many ways to connect with us. If you have any questions, any topics, you know, you want to discuss, just let us know. And always feel free to call in. Everybody's opinion's welcome. Just want to get ready for March Madness, guys. I'm excited to see what happens. My bracket sucks right now. I mean, it's terrible. I'm ashamed to even say I don't have a Final Four team out there. So, but everybody have a great week. Happy Easter, and we'll see you next week.